From Illinois Public Media, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. On Wednesday, after more than 11 hours of deliberation, a Peoria jury found former Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson guilty of second-degree murder. This was in the killing of Sonya Massey in her home near Springfield last year. The jury, however, acquitted Grayson on the more serious charge of first-degree murder, which could have resulted in a lifetime prison sentence. The reaction from Massey's father, James Wilburn, on Wednesday afternoon was frustration.
There's a difference in this country when you have my skin color and Grayson's skin color. We need serious justice, not a miscarriage of justice that happened here in Peoria.
We also got a lot of reactions from those of you in our texting group. Ron in Bloomington said, every once in a while, the justice system still works. Second-degree murder seems to describe what happened. I feel such sorrow for Miss Massey and her family. She called the police for help, and they killed her. We also heard from Aaron in Springfield, who said, the outcome is better than I expected, but not what I had hoped. The brazenness of his actions suggested first-degree murder in my mind, though I understand the jury is privy to more information than the public. The real proof of justice will be in the sentencing stage. Thank you to Ron and Aaron. Many reporters followed the trial as it played out, including Mawa Iqbal, who is a statehouse reporter for NPR stations across Illinois. She joins me now. Mawa, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we're live for this part of the program, although we're only on it for about 14 minutes. So if you have a question about the trial, you can give us a call at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Mal, let's start with that distinction I mentioned there. Grayson was convicted of second-degree murder, not first-degree murder. What's the difference?
Yeah, so of course, the biggest difference between a first-degree murder conviction and a second-degree murder conviction is the sentence that it carries. So in first-degree, like you mentioned earlier, a person could face up to life imprisonment. But for second-degree, the sentencing range is from 4 to 20 years. And of course, the sentencing date for Sean Grayson, as you said, you know, what will take place in January, and we'll see how the judge rules then, if the judge wants to give him a lighter sentence or a heavier one. During that, members of the family can come in and make victim impact statements. So talk about how Massey's death has affected them and how this whole situation has impacted them. But I will say, you know, when it comes to the distinctions between first and second, I think that this is like the central question that the jurors had to really sort of grapple with is, you know, this presence of mitigating factors, right? So when a second degree murder conviction, there has to be the presence of a mitigating factor, one of two specific mitigating factors. So it could be either intense passion from provocation or unreasonable belief in justification. And so, you know, that's something that we heard a lot from the defense attorneys when they're presenting their case during the trial, that, you know, Sean Grayson felt like he was under threat, that Sonia's actions were threatening to him, and that he felt like he was provoked with intense provocation to carry out what he ended up doing. So I'd be interested in talking to a juror to see, you know, like how those deliberations went, because certainly there were some jurors who I felt like were reacting very strongly, very emotionally when the trial was going on, specifically when they showed the body camera footage in its unblurred version. So all of its very explicit graphic detail. And I wonder if there were some jurors who felt like, no, he should be convicted of first degree. But then there were others who said, no, second degree. And maybe this is a compromise verdict. Who knows, right? But that's certainly that this idea of mitigating factors but is at the core, I think, of their jury deliberations.
Yeah, perhaps worth noting, and this is, I saw this in a CBS report, the main jury consisted of 9 men, 3 women, 11 people were white, one of them was black. You mentioned strong reactions. Go ahead. Talk about what you saw.
So I would say that the trial had several pivotal moments, and probably the first and most pivotal and definitely the one that has stuck with me is when the prosecution was presenting their case. And on the first day of the trial, after opening statements, they showed the body camera footage. So it's 36 minutes long, And the one that's been shared with the public has blurred out Sonia's body after she's shot, but this one did not blur it out. And so, when you see Grayson firing at Massey and you hear the shots fired, right? It's such a quick interaction too, right? Because it goes from them speaking normally and within a matter of minutes, he ends up shooting at her in the face. And people in the jury box, they were physically recoiling when that happened. And then there was one, I remember seeing one juror was so like inconsolable, crying, and she had put a notebook in front of her face. You had the only black member of the jury who just didn't look up for the rest of the video. He kept his head down. And then outside the jury box, right, obviously the Massey family and friends who had attended every single day of the trial, they were there too in the gallery. And it was just awful watching how they were reacting, because for Donna Massey, Sonia's mom, that was the first time she had seen the body camera footage all the way through and uncensored. And she left the room in tears. Her nephew, Sante Massey, who's Sonia's cousin, had to take her out of the room. It was a really hard watch for all of us. And I say us, including reporters too. I mean, it's one of those moments that you kind of never forget, right?
Yeah.
Very heavy, very emotional, for sure.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking just for the first part of our program today about the jury verdict in the Sean Grayson trial. He was found guilty of second-degree murder. He was a former Sangamon County Sheriff's deputy at the time he was. And Sonia Massey had called 911, suspecting a prowler near her house. Deputy Grayson and another deputy came in, and he ultimately ended up killing her, murdering her, we can now say. Some more listener reaction. This is from Lex in Champaign. If I did not sit in a courtroom for an entire trial, which I have in my past, I would not presume to weigh in on the justness of a verdict. A better question is higher level: how best to prepare police officers for their roles and duty, how best to require hiring departments to know who they are getting when they hire an officer, and what should we do about mentally ill citizens living among us who are themselves at risk of being taken advantage, being misunderstood as to how much of a threat they might present or be misseen as presenting. We also heard from Brandy in Urbana, who added, "I'm glad he was found guilty. I'm relieved to see some accountability for the abuse of police authority and the murder of a black woman. I know Springfield PD updated their hiring practices. I'd like to see some coverage on who they've hired since making that change." Lex and Brandy, thank you both. Although I should note, well, it was the Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Office that employed Sean Grayson. But we're talking about this with Mawa Iqbal, who is a reporter for NPR stations across Illinois, normally in the State House, but she covered this trial in Peoria. Mawa, one of the listeners there mentioned, it's quite a different experience seeing a full trial in a courtroom from following a news event through the media. I wonder, what are some of the things that maybe jumped out to you that people might not have appreciated if they're just, hearing your stories, reading about this in the paper, that sort of thing?
I told this to I was talking about this with my editor, that it's definitely an exercise in observational journalism, right? You're sitting in the courtroom, you're not allowed to record, right? So the judge had barred any sort of camera or video audio recording. So you're just sitting there, you're taking notes on your notepad or on your laptop, and you want to try to get a sense of the mood, the tension, the emotion, and just how people are reacting. So, I talked about that the Massey family, of course, were very emotional throughout most of the trial. It was interesting that when Sean Grayson himself took the witness stand to testify on his own behalf, that generated a lot of scoffs and just, shaking the heads, or like there are members of the Massey family who are covering their ears. Malachi Hill, who's Sonia's teenage son, had just walked out of the room because he just didn't want to hear anything from Grayson. But then you look over on the other side of the aisle, on the other side of the gallery, and Sean Grayson's family members and friends were also there. And they too were very emotional. I noticed that at several points, his family members would be praying to themselves silently or reading from an annotated Bible. This was really hard, I think, for a lot of people, right? And you look at just sort of the totality of the whole situation. Is we're talking about one person who lost their life and another person who could also technically, theoretically lose their life, quote unquote, in prison, right? So it's a huge decision, very consequential. But one thing I will say is, I've been sort of watching Sean Grayson's body language throughout the trial, and he seemed relatively loose and relaxed. I mean, on the first day, that was something that struck out to me on the first day of the trial. He was just sort of like chatting with his counsel. He was smiling and just generally like very, very sort of normal almost. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but and when he was giving his testimony on the witness stand, he was quite stoic and expressionless, very just straight and to the point. And when they read the verdict, when the jury read the verdict for second degree murder, he was expressionless. He didn't make any sort of reaction, no physical or facial expression. So again, like I said, it was a very interesting sort of exercise in like observational journalism, just to see like how different people react to such an emotional case that carries such wide-reaching reverberations, right? Like you said, it's a national case. It's been watched all over the country, and certainly, we had Ben Crump, who is a civil rights attorney that represented the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. He was there as well. He came down for the jury deliberations. So it was definitely a huge deal, so to speak.
Yeah, just a few minutes left. I was also struck by a couple of facts that came out that, or I guess, what would you say, interpretations that I had not been aware of. I guess there was a freeze frame that was the subject of some focus, where it's from former Deputy Grayson's body camera. You actually do see Massey, after she had ducked down, does pick up the pot, and I guess that was some matter of some, interpretation as to what. Pick it up again, I should say. She had set it down, then she picked it up again right before or as the bullets were leaving his weapon. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so this was something that the prosecution had called up a witness, an expert witness who was a professor from the University of South Carolina, and he said that when he analyzed the body camera footage frame by frame, it does show that like in the milliseconds before she is actually shot, she does, she's crouching down behind the kitchen counter because Grayson had drawn his gun on her and said he was going to shoot her in the effing face. She throws her hands up in the air. She says, "I'm sorry." She crouches down behind her kitchen counter, and then at this point, Grayson steps towards her. So this is something that also came up as like a central sort of point of contention, right? Because the prosecution was saying that he shouldn't have gone forward to her, right? Like in order to de-escalate a situation, he should have actually backed away. That's a de-escalation training that police officers, including Grayson, had received. But Grayson, when he took the stand, says the reason why he stepped towards her is because he was trying to get a line of sight on her to make sure she wasn't getting another weapon like a gun or a knife, and to eventually handcuff her and arrest her for aggravated assault on an officer. And I will say that this testimony, that this specific piece of testimony, drew much criticism and much disdain from Massey's family and friends, who say that he was basically BSing, right? That wasn't true. But yeah, in the body camera footage, when you freeze it down frame by frame, it does show that when he closes that gap and he steps towards her, she does end up coming up and grabbing hold of the pot and puts it up, raises it over her shoulder. Now, whether she's using it to, or whether she was aiming to throw it at him, or whether she was using it to defend herself, just shield herself, that's something we'll never know, because at the very next millisecond, he does end up shooting her. But it certainly, it became the central question of like, did he feel like he was at risk? Because what was she going to throw this pot of water at him? And it's really hard to say like what could have actually happened, obviously. But that was certainly a very emotional and pivotal moment in the trial as well.
No, and I appreciate you taking us through that, because I think that is the sort of thing that, unless you are in a courtroom for a trial like this or even on a jury, you don't understand. I mean, they were in there for hours deliberating. The jury could well be that they were, debating that moment and what was going through each of their minds in that, in those milliseconds, as you said. Just about a minute and a half left. What has changed in policing in the aftermath of Massey's murder by Sean Grayson?
Well, so Senator Doris Turner, who represents Springfield, and actually knows the Massey family. She says that she's known them for decades and knew Sonia very well. She was very hurt and very disturbed by this, by her killing. And so she pushed through this legislation, which is now law. It's called the Sonya Massey Act. And it essentially increases the standards for hiring new police officers in Illinois. So it requires that all departments and jurisdictions do more thorough background checks. They reach out to every single one of the previous police departments or sheriff's departments that the person was employed at. And the reason why is because, reporting from other journalists right after the shooting happened over a year ago revealed that Grayson had some pretty bad disciplinary infractions from his previous employers. And it called into question, how is he able to get hired at Sangamon County? And so this law not only addresses that specific case, but also aims to address this phenomenon called the wandering officer problem, which is this occurrence where you have a police officer who, has disciplinary infractions, has,
Sure.
maybe even gotten suspended at their prior department, but instead of getting fired, they just sort of get shuffled through to different police departments.
Yeah.
So
Well, we're going to have to.
that's one pivotal.
Yeah. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Mawa Iqbal, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Sentencing will be in January. He faces a range of probation to potentially 20 years in prison. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.